Hey Teves, Tuesday the 3rd of January, Rabbi Moshe Weinberger, Perfecting Our Parenting.
So thank you very much for having me. I don't know anything about perfecting parenting. far from a perfect parent myself. I have wonderful children, and I believe in the Rabbeinu Shlomo who's watched over them, and I have a wonderful wife, thank God, and tremendous siyat d'shmaya, and Hashem Baruch Hu has helped, and Hashem Baruch Hu, that's really what we need, Hashem Baruch Hu to help each and every one of us. I just want to discuss one very brief thing. It's a huge topic, and I'm going to be talking about it more this week in different contexts, together with my dear friend Rabbi Naftali Schiff, who's here with us. But just to wait to make one brief nakuda. There's a story that I've told very often over the years that many might tell me to know that I was. So I could be in Eretz Yisrael some years ago, and my wife and I were given the privilege by some Balabatov, I was in New York, to stay in a certain apartment on Rehov Jabotinsky, Yerushalayim, and we were told by the owner that when we go there, that upstairs there's a family, the Balei Tshuva upstairs, and that we should speak to them and they will help us to arrange everything for Shabbos, the oven, and to know the appliances, and how to take care of everything. And sure enough, we went over there, my wife and I, went to speak to the lovely Balabosta over there about how to take care, get ready for Shabbos. And she told us a very, very funny story. She said that when she first came to HSL, that her and her husband were desperate to be able to mix with the locals and to learn Lashon HaKodesh, to speak Hebrew. And she was determined, she went to Ulpan to learn how to speak Hebrew. They were having in their apartment a problem. There was an infestation of a certain type of a bug that you have in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know if it's come to this part, but in Eretz Yisrael they're called Jukim. I don't know if you know. They're mutations of cockroaches that are able to do all kinds of wondrous things. They fly, they jump, they go wherever. She had an infestation in her apartment, and she wanted to speak to an exterminator about getting rid of these jukim. Now, she did not really know how to express herself entirely in Lashon HaKodesh, but she would not speak English with the exterminator. She looked up in the dictionary, and she somehow came to this word, the word for insects and all kinds of bugs, this word harakim. So she calls up the exterminator, and she says, Adoni, yeshli baya, I have a problem. Ken Gvert, Mahabaya, you will speak Hebrew.
Yes.
What's the problem? She says, Yeshli Charedim ala Merpeset. Now, you know the Charedim are God-fearing Jews. Yeshli Charedim ala Merpeset. Instead of Charakim, insect, she said, Yeshli Charedim. I have Charedim ala Merpeset. So the exterminator wasn't a religious guy, but he said, As Gvert, Maharot Samimen. Like, what do you want of me? So she said, Yeshlem harbe yiladim. She's yiladim. Yeshlem harbe, they have many children, the Charedim. She, of course, meant cockroaches, but she said Charedim. Yeshlem harbe yiladim. So he goes, the guy in the exterminator, he says, Baruch Hashem, Yeshlem. Baruch Hashem, Yeshlem harbe yiladim. As Gvert, Maharot Samimen. So, late Mrs., what do you want from me? She says, Ani sonei otam. I hate them, I despise them. So he says, And you go, oh, hey, what about Tzichim? You know, I don't love them, but we have to learn to how to live together. She goes, Lechiyot Biachad, to live together. The guy's an exterminator. So he says, Ad Madrasa, what do you want me to do? She says the terrible thing. She says, Ani Rotsa, Shetavo, V'tai Rogata. I want you to come and to kill him. So he says, Tishmikver, listen, madam. I'm a Yehudi, you know. I'm a Jew. I'm a Hebrew. I'm Yehudim. Tzichim l'chiyot, you know. So then she was telling me this, and finally, I caught on. And I've told this story very, very often because over the years, our communities, I haven't been in Golders Green for almost 40 years. I don't know what's happened over here, but I know that in our communities, Baruch Hashem, Yesh Charidim, Al Hamirpeset, Yesh Charidim, B'cheder Shena, Yesh Habei, Habei, Baruch Hashem, that our children, the families, the communities have grown by leaps and bounds, K'nai Nahara. And parents, to a large extent, not talking about perfected parents, but to a large extent, parents are becoming more and more at a loss of what to do with these religious children that they're raising. The yeshivas, the rebbeim are trying their best, the parents are trying their best. So what I wanted to mention to you, there's only a few minutes, and I talk about this a lot, and there's only a few minutes, I just want to share with you a machshava, a thought. Where I believe parenting begins. Where I believe that it begins. If you really want to see something that will, that could potentially change your lives, there's a sefer called Chovos HaTalmidim. The Holy Rebbe from Piasetz now, a shul in New York, is called Esh Kodesh, after that tzaddik. The Rebbe from Piasetz who wrote the classic called Chovos HaTalmidim before the war, before the Holocaust, Chovos HaTalmidim. And in the beginning of that sefer, the Rebbe has a letter that he wrote to parents and to teachers. It would be very good for you to learn that individually, to learn that together. A parent, a letter to parents. Chovos HaTalmidim. But I want to begin just to make this point. The simple question. The Braisa, the Braisa in Erevin tells us, Ketzed Seda HaMishnah, the Braisa in Erevin tells us how Moshe Rabbeinu communicated Teres Hashem to Am Yisrael. And the Braisa, of course, goes through the Seder of how with Aaron and Aaron's sons and the Zekanim, and how there was a Chazara that it was reviewed four times, so that every single Jew was able to hear Teres Hashem four times. It's the Braisa and Daf Nun Dal, Ketzed Seda HaMishnah. There's a way to teach Torah. And the prototype and the model that we have is Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron and so on. And Chazar review, study, and so on. What's fascinating, and I didn't raise this point, I heard this from an older brother many years ago. What's fascinating is that more than we're familiar with that Bryce and Erevin, we're familiar with the Mishnah in Ovis, or the beginning of Ovis, which is before the Mishnah actually begin, which is Moshe Kibel Ter Messina, whom is Sarli Yeshua, Yeshua, and so on. Now, what's fascinating is that in the Braisa of Ketzed Seda Mishnah, there's a person who is obviously missing from the Seda Mishnah. Who is that person? Yeshua. Yeshua is not found in the Seda Mishnah. On the other hand, in Pirkei Avos, since we're children, Moshe Kibel Ter Messina, Sarli Yeshua, Yeshua, and so on. So why is it that in the Seder of teaching, of the Seder Mishnah, of how we learn Torah Shabbat, why is it that Yeshua, regarding Yeshua, the Torah says, like Moshe Rabbeinu, that he never left Moshe Rabbeinu's side. He was the greatest Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu. He took over after Moshe Rabbeinu. But Chol Zayis, Yeshua is missing from the Seder Mishnah. He's not part of the Seder of the Limud of Torah Shebaal Peh, and the Brayis of the Erevin. Why is that? So the Teretz is that it seems that there are two models of Talmud Torah. there are two ways of teaching Torah, or there are two components when it comes to teaching Torah and to raising our children. The Brais and Erevin, Kated, say the Mishnah, is a very thorough mahalach of how to teach Torah. And there are many, many good teachers, Baruch Hashem. And for that you need special talent, and you need curriculum, you need texts, and we need to teach our children Torah. The yeshivas, I'm not familiar with the local yeshivas, but the yeshivas are excellent at teaching Torah. That's the Seder Mishnah. Ketzed Seder Mishnah. Why is Yeshua missing from that? So what I heard was that there was a second component to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which is not limited to teaching the material of Torah itself, the actual chomer. That's a tremendous skill, to teaching Torah, to be a Mora, to be a Rebbe, to teaching Torah. That's the Seder Mishnah. There's a way to teach Torah, and it changes with the changing generations. The Goyin says in Evan Shlomo that there are different hanhagis. Every generation has a different way of teaching Torah. And we need to understand what the nature of the generation, in terms of the techniques and so on. So what about Yeshua? The second component of Talmud Torah is not teaching Torah. Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai Umasorah LeYeshua. It doesn't say Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai Velomda LeYeshua. It doesn't say that Moshe went to receive the Torah and he taught it to Yeshua. It says that Moshe received the Torah from HaSinai and he gave it. He gave it over to Yeshua. It seems to me that there are many, many teachers and many parents who are successful at teaching Torah. But when it comes to giving over the Torah, they're not so successful. When it comes to giving over the Torah, they're not so successful. And I'm going to share with you why and what that means. I had excellent rebbeim when I was growing up, and I took learning very seriously, and I believe that I was able to absorb a great deal from my rebbeim. But when it came to my being a Jew, I believe that I received it from my father. My father was a 94-year-old Holocaust survivor. You should have a riches yom b'shanim. And every summer my father would take me to a place in upstate New York, to a place to go fishing. I don't know if people do that over here. But to go fishing. And I only found out later on that place, there were actually no fish in that place. I thought that I was going, he took a fishing rod and looked like it was a serious thing. I was wondering why we never caught anything. But I realized only later on that the one that my father was trying to catch was his son, and not the fish. And he wanted to be away in a quiet, beautiful place. And we went there early in the morning and we would sit there. And my father gave Yiddishkeit to me. My father didn't teach me Gemara. He was a great Talmud Chacham before the war. By his bar mitzvah, he made a siyum under the three bavas Baal Peh with Rashi and Tosfos Baal Peh. That was his bar mitzvah drasha. He was tested by the bezdin of the city and the three bavas Baal Peh. But Hitler Yimach Shema had a way of undermining much of the Torah that was learned by those Jews. And after the war, he tried to put his life together. He didn't teach me Gemara. We did learn occasionally. He came home very late from work. But he gave me Yiddishkeit. You see, Yeshua was a huge Talmud Chacham. And there's no question that he learned everything that Moshe Rabbeinu taught. But it's interesting how the future leader of Am Yisrael would be the person who was not in the brace of Ketzed Seder HaMishnah. There was a Seder HaMishnah. And there's no question that Yeshua was a baki in Torah. But what's unique about Yeshua is that the Torah describes him as never leaving the tent of Moshe Rabbeinu. You see, Moshe Rabbeinu gave over Yiddishkeit to Yehoshua. And he entrusted him, not with the teaching of the curriculum, which Yehoshua could do as well. I mean, there are many talented teachers. But if you and I are Jews, and we're still Shomer Mitzvahs, it's most likely because there was someone in your life, and I know who it was in my life, who didn't just teach us, put your finger in the Gemara and say over the Gemara. There was somebody who gave us Yiddishkeit. Moshe Kibbutz Torah Mitzvah Umesorah Yehoshua. He gave it over. Now if you can ask me, what are the rules of that? How does that work? It's not a matter of curriculum. It's not a matter of a particular course of study. It's a second din in Hilchos Talmud Torah, where it's not enough to tell our kids the do's and the don'ts, but to somehow be able to communicate to them our feelings of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why we're Mamin, what we've been through over the years. Did you ever hear of a tzaddik, the Sklenner Rebbe? Yeah?
Sure.
Okay, so the present Sklenner Rebbe is from this Canaan of the generation. I was zeichet to see him many times. He's an Ish Kodesh. His father, the old Sklenner Rebbe, is Kodesh HaKadosh Imam. What he went through during the war, and then he saved many, many children, kept them with him after the war. He raised many, many orphans. So there's a sefer from the Sklenner Rebbe that's called Noyam Eliezer. It's not very well known. It hasn't been printed, I think, more than twice, and there aren't too many copies available. I was fortunate to get this last year, and I wanted to just share this with you. It's in Parshas Bo, and he's discussing the beginning of the parasha, where Boel Paro, Hashem's Baruch tells Moshe when to go to Paro, and the Torah goes on and says over there that Lamante Sapra Bozne Bincho Bebincho, as Hashem Salati Mitzrayim, as Hashem Santi Bom, and then it says V'yedatem Keni Hashem, and you shall know. Tell the story over to your children and to your grandchildren. V'yedatem ki ani Hashem. And you should know that I am Hashem. So I want to share with you a sentence or two from the Sklenner Rebbe, Zchus HaGaon. He says, ki hakavana b'zeh. Because the Torah says that the nishma mizeh sh'aydeh sh'tisarpu l'b'neichem u'b'nei b'neichem hanisim sh'os HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzrayim. Then tisvadu gam atem hamesapim keni Hashem. He says, "Shetziva Hashem is barshet zor kol achil lahashu shulikvor hemuna b'Hashem b'libo." Perfect parenting. How are we to be successful at raising Jews who are not just educated, who are not just knowledgeable, but Jews who are on fire with Yiddishkeit? Is after all, that's what you and I want. We want children who are not just knowledgeable, but who care, who feel a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Sklenner says, Shetziva Hashem Zbar Shetzor Kol Echad LaHashvish V'Legboa HaEmunah B'Hashem B'Libo. If you want to be able to raise children who are righteous Jews, then the beginning of that is LaHashvish V'Legboa HaEmunah B'Hashem B'Libo. To strengthen one's own heart with the Emunah b'Hashem, ki yosef bal tima, like a peg that can't move, ad sheyuchal lentoya toikef emunah zu gam bebonav achrav. In order to be able to give over Yiddishkeit, it's not enough to lecture your children. As I said, my father didn't lecture me about Yiddishkeit. He shared with me experiences. He spoke to me about what he went through. He told me about what his father taught him. He spent time with me discussing the decisions he had to make and the challenges that he faced in order to remain a Jew during difficult times. So the Rebbe says, Emunah has to be very, very strong inside of yourself in order that you should be able to transmit that, to give that over to your children. And so that they will be able to give to their children.
How he says, Simon Shagam Belibo Adain Ein Ha'amuna Kvu V'Chazaka Karoi. And if your children are not strong enough in their faith to be able to continue with that message of Emuna to their children, it means that you and I, the Zaydis and the Babis, it means that there was something missing in our Emuna. Ki Mahaya Eison V'Chazak Be'emes Be'munoso B'Yidiyoso Es Hashem. Because if we would be Be'emes, strong in our own emuna, if our hasagas of Hashem would be strong, with verb how you yotzim ipnimis nekudas libo, and if you and I, instead of just saying Friday night some fancy dvar Torah that we saw someplace to show that pasuk yudal and tesvav can work out, which is a nice thing to do, I do that a lot myself, but if instead of saying some fancy dvar Torah at the table, we give over Yiddishkeit at the table on Shabbos. Udvarv ha-yotzim ipnimis nekudas libo. And if the words would come out from the inner point of one's heart, then bevadai ha-yupolim b'leiv tzeretzov achrov, then it would certainly have an impact upon our children, and then our children would be filled with that feeling of elokus to give over to their children. And that's what the Rebbe says is the pshat or the remez in the pasuk. So that Hashem says, I want you to tell the story of Yiddishkeit, not just the curriculum, the text, not just the halacha, not just you could do this, this is also this mutter, this is also this mutter, this is tome, this is tar, this is akasha, this is a teretz, not just that. That's all good. Of course that too. But Lamat Yisapa Bozle Bincha Ba'ifan Kazesh Agab Bincha Yisapa Dov Leben Bincha. How are we to ensure that we give over the story to our children so that our children will continue to give it over to their children, which is all that we want. Nachon? Maskim, we all maskim. That's all that we want. That's all that we're here for. Is that the story should continue. How? And then it's as if you and I ourselves are telling our grandchildren, not only our grandchildren, but the Irenikach, and the beyond that, the great great grandchildren who we might not have been to meet in our lifetime. And if that is, if our children can give the story over to the grandchildren, and they give it over to their children, and so on, V'yedatem k'ani Hashem. So Lamant Tisaper Ba'oznei Bincha Uben Bincha. If you're able to give over Yiddishkeit in such a way that your children feel it, not just that they're smart and they can say over something, but they feel it. When it comes down to a Nisoyin Rabbeisai and it's 2 o'clock in the morning and the lights are out and the guy's sitting in his study someplace and nobody's watching him, it's just him and the Bari Olam and his device, his iPhone. There's no one else. Not the viber, not the children. No one's watching. He's got nobody on his phone. It's just him and the Bari Olam. At that moment, it's not going to necessarily make a difference whether he said a good terrorist to Kiva as Agus Kasha that morning in Yeshiva, whether he understands Taisus properly. All of that is important. Of course it's important. But the question is, did he hear the story? Was it given over to him in such a way to change his life? That he feels a kesher to Hashem? That God is something that's real to him? It's not something which is a concept. God is not a concept. The Baruch Shalom is not a concept. So it says, a concept is not going to prevent him from looking at it as something disgusting on his computer. You'll forgive me. A concept can't do that. That's why the children are falling apart, especially the boys. It's a magefe everywhere. In Gula and Mesharim too. Because I'm involved there with many things. It's a magefa. Because at the end of the day, if you didn't get the story from your father, again, not just the information of Yiddishkeit, but the story of what it means to be a Jew, if we don't give that over, so then, when they're by themselves, that nisoyin, that test, that challenge, is unbearable. That's what it says in Pasuk. If you're able to give it, l'mat esar pebozei bincha, then it will have been proven V'yedatem ki ani Hashem, that you yourselves know God. That's a simon that we know Hashem. If we have that relationship with Hashem Yisburach, if we have that relationship with Hashem Yisburach, then our children will hear that story from us. People by nature are very reticent to talk about their own emunah, their own feelings about it, of course, about Hashem. So it's much easier to sit down and to learn with somebody. So we learn with our children. I have one son, Baruch Hashem, and six daughters. And I know they're all married, with their own children. But by the time that my son was bar mitzvah, I had already gone through four or five mesechtas with him. And then at some point along the way, I realized that as much as I was teaching him Torah, and I was fulfilling the responsibility of Aaron and Aaron's sons in the Brisa and Erevin of Ketzes and Mishnah, but I was not successful in giving over to him the Rebbeinu that my father gave me on our little fishing excursions on Sunday mornings in the sun. I was not successful at that. I wasn't successful. I tried to make up for it much more later on. But in those early years, I wasn't successful. I want to share with you a story that I've told very often, and I'm going to share with some of the chevra that I'm going to be learning with during this week in Mitzvah Hashem. I was told this story by my daughter, Siri, my second daughter. She read it someplace. I don't believe it's true. It sounds like it's something that never actually happened, but it doesn't make a difference. But she said that she read somewhere that in England, 130, 140 years ago, I think that's where we are right now, I'm a little bit confused, but I believe we're in England right now, that there was a poetry recital. Apparently that was a popular pastime here in England, maybe then, I don't know if it still is, but there was a huge audience in an auditorium that came to hear, there was a competition, of reciting poetry. And it came down to the three finalists in the competition. And they had gone through many famous poets and poetry, poems and so on. And it came down to the last, there were three finalists. And the final poem that the judges assigned was the 23rd Psalm. Now, we know that as Kapitel Chav Gimel, which is what? Hashem Mizmor L'David, Hashem L'Yefzeh. Hashem is my shepherd, if Hashem is watching me, La'etza, I have everything. Minas deshi, I'd be saying. Ki'ati imadi. Le'ira ra ki'ati imadi. So these very fine finalists were reciting, each one recited the 23rd Psalm. These are not Jews. And they're not Jewish, they recited the 23rd Psalm. And there was one fellow that was clearly the winner, and the whole auditorium stood up and they were cheering the way he recited it. And of course he was the winner, and the judges were announcing the winner. And all of a sudden, my daughter read this somewhere. All of a sudden, in the back of the auditorium, an Eastern European Jew stood up in the whole lavush, and in a very broken accent, he says, "Judges, could you let me try?" So everybody was amused by that and thought it'd be an interesting way to conclude the evening. And he was an old man, and they had their charetz. So they said, "Sure, Rabbi, why don't you come up?" So this old yid walks over there with the langa board and pays, and this thin whole of us. He walks over there, and in the most broken English, he starts to say the 23rd kapitel. In the beginning, people were smirking and smiling. By the time the person finished, many people were very moved, and there were a lot of people that were crying. And there was silence. And he got down, he walked out, and they gave the prize to the winner. And they're leaving the auditorium, and the young man who won the prize came running after the rabbi, or the old man. And he said, Rabbi, please. And he said, yes. He said, you know, this really belongs to you. And the old Jew said, I wasn't in the contest, and it doesn't belong to me. You did a beautiful job. It belongs to you. So the young man, this non-Jew, said, look, Rabbi, maybe you could explain to me, why is it that when I recited the 23rd Psalm, everybody was cheering, but when you recited it, everybody was crying, there was silence, nobody was crying. Why is that? So the old Jew put his arm around this fellow and said, you did a beautiful job, but there's a very important difference between the two of us. What's that? The difference is, he says, I know the shepherd. I know the shepherd. Hashem roi lo echsa, Hashem is my father's. It's not about God. You see, you recited a poem about God. About the concept of God. In my life, God is not a concept. He's my father. He loves me. I don't know any secret to perfect parenting. I have no idea. I don't think anybody in the world could say that they do. And if someone does say that, then you should discuss it with his children. I don't believe that. But what I do feel is that if somehow, some way, and I'm not, there's no time to go into prot, somehow, some way, we can convey the romance of Yiddishkeit. If we can give over to our children what this Glenna was talking about, if it's from us, if we really know ourselves that there's a God, and we feel that ourselves, then we'll be successful in giving over the story. We don't have to read all kinds of fancy books on parenting. When we had our oldest child, the hospital took it, I guess they gave our number out to people, and we got all these books in the mail, you know, about parenting. And I remember my father came to the house and to see the baby, and there was this book on parenting. It's an interesting story about that. The author was a Jewish author. But there was a book about parenting, a secular book about parenting that was on my table. And my father looked at this book and he said, well, what is this? And I said, it's a book about parenting with parents. You know, have a baby that's 3 days old with parents. So my father said, throw this into the trash, Narishkeit. My father said, you love the child and be fair and be good and everything will be okay. You don't have to read all this Narishkeit, this trash. We became very complicated. We ourselves are experiments of somebody else's textbooks and studies. It's not that complicated, but it means being real, being honest, and giving over the story with a full heart so that our children will feel that when they're saying the Kapitel Tehillim, it's not about God, it's to Hashem Yisbarach. And that's Chus Hashem Yisbarach will help us to bring all of our children back to Yerushalayim, and Hashem Amitis, and Hashem Amen.